following the marriage of Andrew and James on Saturday, 11th of July, we'll be holding a small wedding blessing here during the service on Sunday, the 19th of July. Okay, I don't know whether any of you, some of you will, remember a lovely lady called Connie Hopkins, who used to be a member of this church. She died a few years ago, but she wrote lots of poems, and they were put into a book, which some of us got. And I was looking through this the other day, and there is a poem, and it is entitled, "Where is the Gold?" And it's a poem about gold in Cottenham. And I thought, where is this gold? Because to be quite honest, I could do with a bit of it myself. So I went down to the Green the other day because I thought, oh, it's bound to be somewhere near the Green. If people are to bury treasure, it would be on grass, wouldn't it? So I went down to the Green and I was standing on the Green and I was facing up the High Street and I spotted someone and I said to them, excuse me, I've heard there is gold in Cottenham. Do you know where it could be? And they went, oh, actually I do. And they gave me directions. These are the directions that they gave me because I got a bit lost. So I want you to help me find this gold. Okay. They said, go up the High Street, turn right by the Checkers, take the first left after the Co-op turn, then the second right, follow that road until you get to another pub, turn left in front of the pub, follow that road as it bends around to the left and then to the right. At the end, turn right, pass one road on your left. It's the second building on your left in the garden by the front door. Anyone? You've got it. You've got it. Have you got it? Here? Here? No? Let's follow it again. Up the High Street from the Green. Turn right by the Checkers. Take the first left after the Co-op turn. Then second right. Follow the road until you get to another pub. They couldn't remember the name of that pub. Turn left in front of that pub. Follow that road as it bends round to the left and then to the right. At the end, turn right. Pass one road on your left, and it's the second building on your left, after that road, I presume. It's in the garden by the front door. Is Andrea right? You got to the allotments. Anyone else get anywhere else? Okay. Andrea, I wonder, would you or someone like to check if there is anything in the front, just in case, you know, there might be some treasure? Sorry, it's raining and all that. Anyone got an umbrella? Don't suppose anyone wants to go to the allotments? No? No? We'll just wait for a few minutes. You never know. Gold. Connie said there's gold in Cottenham. What is that gold? Is it real gold? Is it some other type of gold? Is it anything at all? Was Andrea correct? Oh, my word! Connie was right. Bring it here. What have we got? Ooh. There's gold in Cottenham. It's a bag of sweets and another bag of sweets. Do you think Connie bought these and planted them here? Round of applause, please, for Andrea and those who collected. Do you think we should share those after the service? Do you know what? Is there gold in Cottenham? Do you know, I didn't do all that. I actually made it all up, you know. But these are to share because we followed the directions. Later on, we are going to be thinking about directions. But, you know, I'm really thankful to Connie because she left these poems. If you haven't read them, they're wonderful. Do take a look and do read. But she also left us that wonderful moment that we could share together. Connie left us something, and it's something to be thankful for. Today is a day to be thankful for. Is the rain to something to be thankful for? Because yes. The gardens need it, don't they? Yes, if you're having a barbecue, not so. But there's many things to be thankful for, and as we gather together this morning, we come to thank God that we are here in his presence together. We're going to sing a couple of songs together. We're going to worship God. Let yourselves be led in worship. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. So I wonder who found it easy to follow the directions which I gave. Clearly Andrea did, spot on, straight in there. Emma maybe a little bit off. Do you mean the allotments down there? Okay, that's fine, it's okay. Conrad, up the wrong road. Who would have found it easier if I had produced a map and said, oh, look, someone gave me this map. X marks the spots. Would you have found that easier? Maps are a little bit easier. Is it easier to follow a map when you're in the car or directions when you stop and ask someone when you're in the car? Depends who you are, doesn't it? I find it very hard, I have to say, to follow directions. Even in the car, when I've got a map, I find it very hard. It's a bit of a thing, isn't it, that people say, oh, women can't read maps, and there's women who go, but that's not true. I'm not one of those. I can't really follow a map very easily. I try my best, and I think I'm good at it, but more often than not, I lead us down the wrong road, and it ends up in discussions about where we should have gone. Often we're sitting at traffic lights and someone's going, which way, Kate, which way? And I'm going, quick, Kate, the lights are changing. Just choose a way, Kate. Okay, we'll just go the way I say. That's how it goes. You see, I'm not very helpful. But I feel I come from a long line of people who are unable to read maps. My mum would say she is very good at map reading. But the number of times we took the scenic route... Now, what is that? The scenic route. My dad would go, where are we going? Beryl, where are we going? She'd go, Gary. That's her name. Gary, we're going the scenic route. Jenny and I sit in the back going, we've gone the wrong way. My mum doesn't know where she's going. The number of times, but she wouldn't admit it, and she won't now. And I think it's filtered down, hasn't it? I go the scenic route quite a lot. Wonder if anyone else does. In fact, I wonder if anyone else finds it hard to read maps. Maybe, just where you are, turn to each other. Have you ever had a I don't know where I am moment? I'm completely lost. What happened? Did it evolve into an argument or did you just work it out? Turn around to each other. Have you ever felt lost, not knowing where to go? What did you do? 2 minutes. Discuss quickly. I wonder if there's anyone who's like me. Anyone... found themselves lost because they cannot read a map? No, just me. Rhys, you've never been lost. Never been lost. You got lost once, but it wasn't your fault. You followed someone else.
Yes.
It's tricky. I was going to say follow Rhys, but you know, there's always a first, isn't there? Anyone else got lost and it wasn't their fault? Oh, Miranda. You got lost in Addenbrookes, yeah. Well, do you know, that is a tricky place to get round, actually. Just follow the signs, they say. They disappear. Anyone else got lost in an unusual place? Yes. A cub hike. 30-mile hike instead of a 10-mile hike. That's a bit of a long detour. Scenic route. We're going on the scenic route, you see. It happens all the time. You know, there is someone who, well, you could say they got lost. They started going in the wrong direction. It's a very famous story. If you were American, you would know it very well. It happened in an American football game in 1929. It's still remembered to this day. There was a man, and his name was Roy Regals. And he picked up the ball and he got tackled and he got up and he didn't know where he was, so he started running. And he was running and running and running down the pitch because he thought, I'm going to score. And he ran and ran and ran. And what he didn't know was everyone was shouting, turn around, you're going the wrong way. As he got tackled, he got up and he started running in the wrong direction. He ran 65 yards and nearly got to his own goal line before one of his own teammates tackled him and brought him down. Just short of the goal line. Everyone was shouting, turn around! But he thought they were cheering, so excited. Turns up that the opposition then got the ball and actually scored from his mistake. And that was all before they had to go in for half-time. Imagine how he must have felt. They were all shouting, "Turn around." And you know, one of the things that throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, the old bit of the first bit of the Bible, one of the things that a lot of people shout a lot of the time in lots of different words is, "Turn around! Turn around!" And the people who shout it most often are people called the prophets. They're sent by God to talk to the people of God. And the one thing they say above all else is, "Turn around, turn back. You're going in the wrong direction." Not that the people of God were physically walking in the wrong direction and they had to get somewhere else, but they were going away from God. And the prophets came from God and they shouted, "Turn around. You're going away from God and he wants you to come back to him." One of these prophets was a prophet called Joel. And he shouted this to the people of God. The people of God thought they were okay, but then suddenly this great swarm of insects came and overtook Jerusalem, their major city. And they didn't know what was going on. And so Joel came and he said, "This is what's happening. You're going in the wrong direction. And things are starting to happen that show this. You need to turn around and go back to God." And he says, "I don't want you to start wearing different clothes and looking posh and coming and meeting together and showing that you've turned around. I don't want that to happen. God's not interested in that. What he wants you to do is turn your hearts around." Because it was as if the hearts of the people of God were turned away from God. And God was calling them through Joel to turn back. This is what he says. God said through Joel, "Return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments." Don't put on fancy clothes, but give me your heart. "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." And you know, sometimes it seems to me that we can be like the people in the Bible there. That even though we sit here and we might wear nice clothes, we might wear clothes that we like, we might look okay, sometimes our hearts are turned away from God. And God says, "Turn around. I can see your hearts. I can see what your hearts are like." Do you know, I often imagine our hearts to be like this. Do you know Love Heart Sweets? Do you like these? I really like these. And the reason I like them, not only do they taste nice, which is a bonus when you're eating sweets. Why would you eat sweets that tasted horrible? But they have things written on them. Oh, hug me. In love. Delicious. True lips. True lips. What's that mean? Nice. There's so many different things written on these hearts. My hero. Brilliant. They're great, aren't they? Oh, true love again. The thing is, it's obvious what's on the heart because it's written on it. And when God looks at us, shouldn't have done that, bad. He sees our heart clear as day. We sometimes don't even know what our heart is like, but God sees it as if the words are written all over it. Sometimes they're words that say, "I love you." Sometimes they're words that say, "Go away." But God sees them, and whatever is on our heart, he says, "Turn around. Come back to me." You should have one of these with you. If you haven't, there should be some somewhere. There's some at the front. If you haven't, just wave a hand. Everyone got one? Miranda. Oh, are you going to give some out? If someone's waving their hand, pass their heart to them. Miranda needs a heart. I mean, she has a heart. Sorry, I don't mean... This heart here. Can you pass one to Miranda? Wonderful. Thank you. This heart here represents our hearts. We're going to have a time of worship where we sing songs to God. We offer him our hearts. And if you would like to turn your heart to God, whether you feel it's turned to God or not, then I invite you to bring your heart, this one, and to place it, there's a cross here if you can't see it, to place it before the cross. Now, your heart might not feel like this. It might feel a bit scrumpled and not really sure. You can place it down like that. It might feel a bit ripped and hurt and upset. You can place it down like that. God accepts our hearts, whatever they're like. So during the next song, I invite you to come and place your heart before God, before the cross, because he's calling us, whatever our hearts are like, to bring them to him. So let's start by standing together to sing our next song. And as we do, at some point, if you feel you want to, bring your heart forward to the front. Let's stand to sing together. Do you know the end of the story of Roy Regals, the American footballer who ran the wrong way? Was that at half time, or whatever they call it, because they have lots of different sections, don't they? They had a team talk. And Roy was feeling terrible. And he thought, that's it, I'm not going to go back out. Who's going to pick me? I rang in the wrong direction when everyone was telling me to turn around. But the coach didn't say a word. Just said, we need to get out there. And we need to play as a team. And they came out, and people will say that the best player on the pitch was Roy Regals in the second, third, fourth period, whatever they have. They didn't win the game. In fact, they lost by one score, which was the score that Roy helped the opposition to get. But he played completely differently. And the crowd accepted him for that. I'm trying to get up here. Excellent. See, feel that I'm lonely, trying to be with me. And you know, when we turn to God, even when we've made mistakes, he doesn't go, see, you've made a mistake, you've got to prove yourself. He says, right, come on then, let's do it together. Let's make a difference. And we can change, and we can be different. I have some little hearts here to give to you this morning. They're only made of card. But they say on them, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. If you can't read those words, just keep the heart and know that it shows that God loves you. If you can't read those words, but you want to read them, ask your mom or dad or someone to read them to you. If you don't understand what the long words mean, ask them to explain them. That would be interesting and get them thinking. But don't just take the heart and think, oh, another one of Kate's things. I'll just put that to the side. Keep it as a reminder that God loves you completely. And when you can read the words, read them and cherish them and keep them in your heart. I'm going to hand these round during the final song while the offering's been taken up as well. So, you know, don't put the hearts in the offering and take someone else's money. Bad, wouldn't it? Put the seed in your mind now, but instead take a heart and offer your money. Wonderful. Let's stand together to sing our final song, and I will pass these to one person, and hopefully you'll all be able to pass them round. Oh, there you go. And we'll take up the offering at the same time. Thank you very much. As we bring our service to a close this morning, we invite you to stay and have coffee and possibly donuts, but sweets for definite. But I also want to pray for James and Andrew. I'm not going to invite them up because they're going to be centre of attention for, like, you know, ever. But as they stand there, and Hannah and Grace, we'll pray for them for next week. So let's close our service in prayer.